Welcome to episode 24 of Published. Today I will speak with Jane Friedman about publishing options and how authors can choose the publishing path that's right for them.
Welcome to Published, a podcast by Greenleaf Book Group, where we'll discuss the ins and outs of the publishing industry, from writing a book and finding the right publisher to gearing up for a book launch. And now, here's your host, Greenleaf Book Group CEO, Tanya Hall.
Welcome back to Published. In the last episode, we talked about how to market your book by following the golden rule. And in today's episode, we are going to zoom out to talk about the publishing industry as a whole and what options exist for authors. So if you are exploring publishing options, you may have heard terms like traditional publishing, self-publishing, hybrid publishing, partner publishing, vanity presses, print-on-demand, online-only publishing, and so many more. So with all of these choices vying for your attention, it can be difficult to determine what publishing path is right for you, particularly if you're a first-time author or a debut author, as I like to say. Choosing the right path can certainly boost your chances for success, but the wrong path can lead to a bad experience all around and a waste of time and money in some cases. That's why we believe it's important for authors to get a very clear understanding of what each publishing option entails and how those fit in with your goals. So to help explain the most prominent publishing paths in our industry today, we are joined by Jane Friedman. Jane is a publishing expert with over 20 years of experience, a columnist for Publishers Weekly, and she maintains an award-winning blog for writers on her website, janefriedman.com. She released her newest book, The Business of Being a Writer, earlier this year, and is absolutely a fantastic resource for anybody exploring the publishing business. So let's get into the interview. So Jane, welcome to Published.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, we're super excited to have you today, especially to talk about publishing options, because it's something that I talk about all the time at conferences, but I'm admittedly a little biased, not too biased. I think I give a pretty fair overview of publishing options and where Greenleaf fits, but I can understand where one of our listeners might think I'm biased. So it's awesome to have you here to talk about the different types of publishing options available in today's publishing landscape. And maybe you could start by just kind of giving us a quick overview of what those are, kind of at a simplistic level.
Sure. On a simplistic level, I tend to divide things into two categories: publishers that pay you, and then publishers that you pay. So on the traditional publishing side, there are all sorts of sizes of publishers, and generally they work by paying you in advance and royalties, and you have a contract that's fairly restrictive because the publisher's taking on a financial risk. And then on the publishers that you pay, this is a very large, complex universe, just as traditional publishing is complex, in that you have lots of different styles of services with different amounts that you might end up paying and different types of contracts. So that's usually how I look at the world from a pretty high level. And then if you start to like look at the little details, there are also publishers who do not pay you in advance, but neither do they ask you to pay anything to them. So that's kind of a little known category that sometimes is like a digital only mm-hmm. publisher. Like they might only do your work as print on demand or an ebook. And that's where it can be really hard to determine quality. And I know we'll be kind of talking about those issues throughout the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I love it when I'm talking with business authors, because sometimes I'll just use the comparison of when you're looking at capital for a business, it's like the difference between venture capital, someone else's money, or bootstrapping, which is using your money.
Yes.
And they're both fine. There's no, well, I guess in some areas, we can talk about this too, there may be a wrong way. But in general, and I think increasingly people are accepting that a different business model is just that. It's a different business model. And for every author, there is a fit that is unique to their needs.
Exactly. So it's really hard for me to point out any wrong ways to publish aside from those contracts or services that are clearly taking advantage mm-hmm. of someone's ignorance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. Or if, you know, scenarios where I don't think so many of these companies are around anymore, but back in the Wild West of self-publishing, there were vanity publishers, but publishers who on an extreme level you would pay all this money to, and then they would still have all of the rights. So
yeah.
That just doesn't make sense. And there, that is out there, but I think our community is pretty good about calling those folks out.
Indeed. And I feel like authors have become much savvier over time. And part of that's because the service environment has changed so much since, let's say, the early 2000s, when it became much more affordable to self-publish.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that in terms of the change, especially with the rise of self-publishing. So how would you describe the impact of that on our industry in, let's say, the last decade or so?
Oh, it's immeasurable. And there's so many different facets that you can talk about. When I got into the publishing industry in the mid-90s, you know, there was kind of a fringe self-publishing movement, but it was definitely fringe and it was very difficult. And you had to be really business-minded. Not that you don't have to be today, but like even more so, it was really like starting a small business in every sense of that concept. But around 2000, 2001, when print-on-demand technology entered the mainstream, you know, you had providers who were offering $99 publishing deals, essentially. Pay us $100 and we'll get you a published book out, you know, generally in less than 3 months. So I think that was a very interesting stage where you had so many service providers come out that had some of those contracts you mentioned earlier that weren't that great.
Right.
And then we had another dramatic shift when ebooks, of course, hit the market with the Kindle. And then you had Amazon's Kindle Direct Publishing Service open up that everyone then kind of replicated across all retail channels and major providers. So that really made it possible for independent authors, especially of fiction, to conceivably make a living just by publishing on their own and reaching their customers directly through Amazon. So that's been the most recent shift, which we're still really seeing unfold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people talk a lot about the democratization of publishing through technology, right? And I think self-publishing is probably exhibit A.
Indeed.
All right. Well, going back to publishing options, when you are talking with one of your clients, if we can call them that, so the people who come to you mm-hmm. for guidance, how do you walk them through the criteria that they need to consider when they're choosing that publishing path?
I start with identifying their number one priority or goal in publishing the book, because there's so many different priorities that people have. For some, it's money. For others, it's building a career, getting media attention, fulfilling the wish of a family member. There's mm-hmm. so many. The motivations are as unique as authors themselves. So I try to get a handle on what's most important to them. Is it absolute control over the project? Is it getting it to market within a couple months? Is it getting the attention of big time media? So that way, once I understand what's critical or how they envision success, that better allows me to recommend a certain path. Certainly for people who are, you know, your classic business people who are very experienced in entrepreneurial, they have entrepreneurial skills, or they're already experienced at marketing and they already have a platform. I find that self-publishing often appeals to those people. But again, they may have goals that are about expanding their audience and they're wanting an international type of launch that maybe only a traditional publisher can provide. So mm-hmm. those are, I think, the key issues that come to the table.
Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit earlier about some questions around sizing up these potential publishers and assessing whether the quality is in line with that author's standards. And as we both know, there are a lot of publishers out there who claim to be a lot of things. And I think it can be super confusing for an author on the front end who's probably also new to the business and hearing conflicting advice. So how would you suggest that they sort out the good, the bad, the ugly?
Well, whenever you're dealing with a service that you're paying, you have to have your eyes wide open, because they may tell you things that make you feel good, but don't necessarily lead to the best outcome. Mm-hmm. So also high-pressure sales tactics, where they're trying to upsell you on things rather than try to explain to you what's required to produce a successful book. So I think that when you are talking with a publisher about what you're trying to accomplish, they introduce, you know, realistic goals. They help you figure out what realistic goals look like in the first place. Mm-hmm. And they, and it's clear that they understand how to reach those goals, or if you need to modify them because you have an incorrect understanding of how the business works. Reputable publishers also are pretty transparent about things. They're not trying to hide how things work. They're honest about the challenges. And good companies generally aren't new companies. Like, I'm not against startups, but usually if you're trying to make a really significant splash that would get you in traditional media, whether that's TV, radio, you know, you need a publisher that understands the kind of package required to appeal to those media outlets. So hopefully the publisher has some experience with the packaging and market appeal for the category that you're working in.
Yeah, I agree. That's the longevity piece is important, because along with the knowledge that comes with working on, you know, multiple projects over many years, the relationships on the on both the distribution and the media side, and, you know, with trade publications, those are invaluable, and those really just come from years and years of calling on accounts and being in front of them and building a reputation for quality.
Precisely. And I think, I don't want to get too into the weeds with it, but like, a company such as Greenleaf has these established relationships with accounts, with bookstores and distributors and so on, that can actually get books on shelves. And there are so many services out there that you could hire or work with that really just can't do that. They can talk night and day about having your book in all, in like 8,000 retail outlets, but that doesn't really mean anything. It just, it means your book's available to be ordered, but it doesn't mean your book's actually sitting on a shelf.
Yeah, that, you just hit the nail on the head with one of my major pet peeves when I look at, so people will sort of toss me links all the time to, do you know about this publishing company or this little upstart? And I'll look at it and try to figure out if they actually have distribution. And there is that one misleading sentence all the time of, we make your books available to retail and wholesale channels. And so I spend so much time explaining to people that it's a database. You're in a database.
Yes.
And it is not the same as having a proactive sales force. And that's the question you need to ask if that's your goal. Do you have a proactive sales force? So, gosh, I could do a whole separate episode on that.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy, because I just think it's a little unfair to the authors.
It is. And they I think authors just get really misled about what distribution means, what meaningful distribution means, and that I've stopped talking, in fact, about distribution with my clients, because that's the easy part. And we instead talk about sales, what it means to get sales to happen and where those sales are happening.
Yeah, that's an important distinction. I like that. All right. Well, talking about sales, obviously, and an important part to generating sales is marketing. And so anytime I have an industry expert on the podcast with us, love to just hear your thoughts in general on the importance of authors marketing their books, because it's a point that I feel we can't overstate in terms of regardless of what your publisher is or is not doing, there's just an important aspect to the author, him or herself, bringing their voice to the table in terms of marketing. So could you speak to that a bit?
Yeah, readers don't find out about books by accident, usually. The word of mouth accident is what too many publishers and authors are banking on. I mean, it's great when it happens, but most people buy books by authors they know already. So this means most authors need to be looking at marketing as a long-term, career-long process. I think I may have already mentioned platform once in this discussion, which is this kind of nebulous term that refers to an author's visibility to their target readership. And so you're going to be better able to market your work when you have an understanding of what your platform assets are, where your strengths and weaknesses are in reaching your target readership, and shoring up some of those weaknesses as needed before the book actually launches. For most books that are successful once they reach the market, you know, there's been a year of lead up to that launch. If you're working with a traditional publisher, you know, they're selling that book to accounts as far in advance as 6 to 9 months. And you need to have a marketing plan in place that the publisher can take to their accounts and say, look at all of the authors' assets, look at what they're doing, look at how we're partnering with them to get the word out. So again, you don't want to rely on serendipity or luck. And it takes a really, I think, multifaceted approach in today's media environment. You don't want to have a wholly online social media focused effort in most cases, and you don't want to have a wholly traditional effort in most cases. You want a nice blend. And so trying to figure out that balance based on the qualities of your book or your audience is, that's the puzzle you're trying to put together in that year up to the book's release.
Yeah, well said. And I think another tool or another metaphor that I try to use with my authors is quite often, because there's so much emotion that goes into writing the book, and it is, now that I've written my own, I understand it is a complete labor of love. There's a little bit of false logic that can come into play where you think that because you put so much work into this, surely people will buy it simply due to the effort. And that is not the case, of course. So I always explain to my authors, especially, again, the business authors, it's a product launch. And if you take it back a level and look at it from a business perspective, you wouldn't put any other product into the market with retail distribution without a strategy in terms of supporting it and creating demand and targeted audience and sell-through strategies. So we have to sort of remove that emotional attachment to our ideas and the fact that it's our voice, and remember that it's a product that we're taking for a national launch. So it definitely needs the same type of support as any other product being pushed out into brick and mortar retail.
Yes, I couldn't have said it better. With my clients, I sometimes run up against a romantic attitude when it comes to writing and publishing, where they are not really thinking of it as a business, and they have that misconception or this happy belief that quality will rise to the top, and it just doesn't. Mm-hmm. You have to push it.
Absolutely. Yeah, some of my favorite books that we've published are not our best-selling books, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah.
All right. So you talk with so many would-be authors. I know you do a lot of work directly with clients. We'll give you a chance to share your contact info if you like as well. But you also speak at conferences and that type of thing so often. What would you say is the most common misconception about publishing a book that you hear from new authors, or maybe one lesson that you'd really like them to learn or know before they begin this journey?
I think so many authors think that publishing a book is the point, which sounds so funny to say, but it's just one step in a very long series of events that relate to getting your message out, building a platform, and then accomplishing a larger goal. I think so many authors end up kind of in this postpartum depression after their book comes out when they realize what they thought was going to happen didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And that could be instant success or sales or great reviews or just the feeling that more people actually noticed that they had a book come out. It's so hard to make it break through. And so it takes just really small efforts day after day after day in the lead up and afterward in order to get that book to pop. And usually it's a body of work over a career that's going to eventually give you what you want, and not the single book and the single launch. So I can't tell you the number of people who come to me after their book's been out 6 months, 12 months, even 2 or 3 years, and they're like, I feel like I didn't do everything I could have. Now what? And it's really hard to address that issue. And usually I tell people, just focus on the next project. Mm-hmm. That's probably better than trying to rewind. Or go back, like, we don't have a time machine yet. So,
right.
But as far as other misconceptions, just thinking about the messages that authors hear in the media specifically, one of my pet peeves is this misconception that ebooks are declining and that print is making a resurgence. I think we get into these kind of fetishizations of print versus ebook. And authors need to get out of that mindset of one is better than the other and instead just focus on what are the trends in in my market. What are readers, what format are readers gravitating toward? Mm-hmm. Having as many formats as possible so that you reach a better audience instead of trying to say, well, this isn't a good deal unless I have a hardcover or unless, you know, there's so many different prestige pressures that we put on ourselves. So try to avoid the status anxiety related to formats and do what's best for your reader.
Yeah. And isn't it interesting? Now you can throw audio into that mix as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People, I've heard it already. People don't read books anymore. They only listen to audiobooks. I'm like, oh my gosh, if you could see the sales numbers that we see, or just look at it's widely published information, and audiobooks, yes, are growing at a tremendous pace, but are still just a fraction of the percent of what print books sell.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, Jane, thank you so much for joining us today. That is it for our episode, and it was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Tanya.
And do you want to share any information of how folks can contact you if they would like your help in exploring their publishing journey?
The best place to go is janefriedman.com, and you can find like my best posts over the years right from the main menu and information about the other publications I do.
Awesome. And Jane also has a book out, I think it's fairly new, called The Business of Being a Writer, which you should pick up. It has, we're looking at it today. It has a bunch of really good information in it. So highly recommended. And Jane, thank you again.
Thank you.
That's it for our episode today. I hope you learned a lot and feel empowered to make the best publishing decisions for your book. For notes and resources from today's show, go to greenleafbookgroup.com/episode24. And if you've liked the show, please rate and review it on iTunes. It sure means a lot to have your feedback and definitely helps us make sure we're answering your most burning publishing questions, which I also answer in my book, Ideas, Influence, and Income, which is available at your local bookstore or your favorite online retailer. We will be back next month with another new episode.
Thanks for listening to Published. To learn more, please visit greenleafbookgroup.com. And remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.